witnessing. Now, if you don't want it, go soak your head. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. Okay? I got a little riled up there, didn't I? It's amazing what, over 40 years, you could remember. Uh-oh. That's a bad sign. Alzheimer's means that you remember the past, but not right now. What class is this? Oh. Okay. Back to Romans, the last paragraph. Chapter 4, verses 16 to 25. This is a great section. Boy, talk about laying the issue on us that justification is by faith alone. Verse 16. Because the whole point of this passage is that his justification resulted through faith in the work of Christ. Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore, so he is making an application now. Therefore, it is of faith. Why? That it might be by grace. Oh. See, in chapter 11, verse 6, he'll tell you that grace is not works. If it has any works in it, then it's no longer grace. And work is no longer work if there's any grace in it. More about that when we get to chapter 11. To the end. What's the purpose of this? Verse 16. To the end, the promise, which was given to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 to 3, might be sure to all the seed. This would be the descendants. Perhaps all the believers who come to know him. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who before the law believed. He's the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. That was in the promise. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. I like this. Who against hope believed in hope. What does that mean? Well, if you had waited 24 years and you took one look at your 89-year-old wife and you realize what you are able to do at age 99, it might be against all human hope. You know, when Jews tell the story to their children, we teach in Judaism that the parents who tell the story, the fathers especially, and the grandfathers, they should always laugh. Why? In memory of Sarah laughing and Abraham laughing. They laughed within themselves. God knew they laughed. And so his little joke on them is call a kid laughter. That's what Isaac means in Hebrew. Isaac, it means laughter. Every time you saw the kid, you cracked up laughing. Can you imagine going to school? Kids would ask him, how old's your dad? Oh, about 110. Can he come out and play? No, he can't walk. You know, I mean, I don't know what he said. You know? We're talking miracle baby here. And so every time we tell a story, we're supposed to tell it with laughter to remind ourselves that God can do anything. He can do anything. God is able. And that story tells us that the emphasis is on God. It wasn't on Abraham and Sarah. Their response to God telling them now at that age, oh, you're going to have a baby next year at this time. Yeah, right. Oh, we believe you, God. No, I mean, we really do believe you. Do you understand me now? Hey, make sure you read the Bible right. So what we have in verse 16 to 18, the first thing is the reason. And that's based on three things. Now, stop and think about this. The reason for what? The reason that justification, being declared righteous, results through faith. What's the reason behind that? First, it's based on God's provision, verse 16. God's provision. Secondly, it's based on God's power, verse 17. He can not only raise the dead, he can call things into existence that didn't even exist before, as he did in creation. And it's also based on God's promise in verse 18, who against human hope believed in hope, the hope that God gave him, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was what? Spoken. He believed exactly what God said to him, even though it seemed from a human standpoint to be impossible. God said, so shall thy seed be, and that settles it. It's only a question of time. Jesus said, I will come again. It's only a question of time. I believe he's coming again. By the way, I don't need to believe it to pump me up and make me feel good or make me feel like a Christian or whatever. I believe it's going to happen regardless if anybody believes it or not. He's going to come again. I don't know the day nor the hour. I'm not worried about it. Could be today. That'd be good. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That'd be good too. It's going to happen. Why? Because God said so. That settles it. You know what's going to be true in the last days of most churches? Well, you know, we don't really get into that prophecy stuff, you know. It just scares people, you know. How did that pastor tell me that? Do you think that makes me soften it? No. I get worse. I scare the daylights out of them. I borrow some of Chuck Missler's stuff. Talk about thermonuclear stuff that I don't know squat about, but it scares the daylights out of people. Seriously. We better wake up. Jesus is coming. Doesn't make it true because you believe it. And the Bible does warn us that the majority of people will be saying, hey, he hasn't been here for 1900 years. Come on. I'm going to warn you about something. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. This is a human being thinking things through and making a prediction that he doesn't care whether it comes true or not. Okay? Okay, so when you quote me, don't leave that part out. Okay. I believe we're going to see one of the greatest problems about prophecy and the second coming immediately after the year 2000, if the Lord decides to tarry his coming. Up until the year 2000, there's a lot of New Age occultic wackos that are agreeing with us, so to speak. Not that Jesus is the Messiah coming back, but the Christ is coming back. And everybody's marking 2000, and this is it. There are even Bible prophecy teachers on television now. I heard one the other night who lays it out, 1,000 years one day 1,000 years, going to be right on the money, right on the money. You know, if I were the Lord, and I'm not, praise God, I would either come before then or wait till the year is over. Just to mess up their puny brains. I expect the Lord to return any time now. I don't know when it's going to be. But you watch out. If the Lord chooses to give us a little bit more time, after the year 2000, I predict, there's going to be a general discouraging attitude about prophecy that will hit the church. You watch. Which might cause us all to redouble our efforts to preach the truth. It'll probably be on January 1st, 2001, to wait for the day the 2000th year is over and the next day he will come. Of course, that isn't pleasing to my messianic friends who are absolutely convinced he's coming on Rosh Hashanah. I don't know. I think when he said you don't know the day and hour, he meant you don't know squat, dummy. That's what I think he meant. So stop trying to figure it out. Just be ready, okay? All right. What class do we teach you? The response of Abraham to these obstacles, what a lesson for all of us. Verse 19, I love this. Is this you? Really, I read it and I said, Lord, please help me. I'm so far away from this. This is a blessing. What an example of the whole point we're making. It says, being not weak in faith. Verse 20 says, it meant staggering at his promise. In other words, he never doubted that when God spoke to him, that was true, it was going to be fulfilled. He doubted how it was going to be done. But being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead or impotent. He calculated, he thought about it for a while. You know, God's got a real serious problem here. I mean, I just don't have it anymore. I'm old. I'm tired. And looking at Sarah, it isn't going to work. Bible doesn't say how long he took thinking it over and calculating, but I have a feeling it was a while. He's thinking about this whole thing. Now God comes to him and says, next year at this time. That means in about 3 months she's going to have to conceive. Oh, Lord. But it says he still believes. His body's about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God. Now, he normally, at age 99, would stagger a bit. Kind of a play on the physical and spiritual thing. See, when you get older, you can become stronger spiritually. The outward man may decay, but the inward man can be renewed day by day. So though the old body doesn't function like it once did, the insides can be stronger than ever, wiser than ever. And here he is, strong in faith. He never stopped believing what God said. He really saw the problem. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know, that encourages me, because sometimes the problems wipe me out. They wipe me out. True confession time. 2 weeks ago, I taught in this class. One of the sensitive young ladies in this class came up afterward, just as we were discussing, as I was walking out. And she said, "You're worn out, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, as a matter of fact, I am." She said, "I could see it in you. You're tired. And you're hurting about something." I said, "Now, wait a minute. You know, let's don't carry this too far. You bring out those crystals, I'm out of here." But she was right. And I'll tell you what it is. I didn't even tell her. I said, "Just pray." You know, January and February are poor months of support for radio ministries. I don't know if you know that or not. So is August. December is great, but not January and February. We barely made it out of December. Paid all bills. I was so thrilled. We're in the black. Trusting God. Amen. Well, you know, you're trusting God, you can get a few doubts along the way. By the middle of February, I'm hurting big time. The bills have to be paid now, or we're off the air. And I was walking around like God died. Or at least he stepped off the throne for a while. I was really discouraged. And I taught here that day. When I got back to the office, a dear friend of mine who helps me with the accounting, he's a CPA and a tax consultant, who's been handling our taxes, he said, "Hey, David, I've got to show you something." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I made a little mistake at the end of December." I said, "Oh, no." You know, my great faith, oh, I know now we're, what, $100,000 in debt? What are we in debt? You know, give me something to drink. Oh. I'm a Christian, it's water. But anyway, I was so discouraged. He said, no. Funny thing, I've never done this in my life. Never. I turned in all the tax forms. They're all taken. You paid the tax? Yeah, they're all taken care of. What's the problem? I forgot to take the balance from last year and put it over into the new year. I said, what? He said, well, we have more money in the bank than we thought. How much more? Well, as a matter of fact, if you want to, you can pay all your bills today. You know what I said? There must be something wrong. Are you sure? Let's go over this again. You see, I'm not really joyful right now. I'm scared he's wrong. I'm scared to believe that it's true. Now, this man has never done it in his life. 30 years of this. But you see, God did that. Guess who he was working on? Me. And you know, I was so embarrassed I couldn't hardly even praise the Lord. I was so embarrassed at my stupidity. God showed me the answer. We paid all our bills. And the great news is, we're broke again. Apparently, this is a month-by-month deal with God. Is everybody understanding me? You see, don't criticize Abraham. The Bible says he was strong. He believed what God said to him, but it doesn't mean he didn't have problems. It doesn't mean he didn't doubt how it would happen and all his circumstances. It didn't mean he'd get discouraged or depressed. But he didn't stagger at the fact of what God said or what God had spoken. And now, all of a sudden, it becomes clear to me again. I am declared righteous, not because of my failures or good deeds or anything else, but by faith in what Jesus has already done. And the credit on my accounting ledger with God is so great, it wiped out all my debits. And I'm free and forgiven and redeemed and justified and sanctified by the power and work of my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hey, women? Okay. Two things I want to point out to you. One is the condition of his body and his wife's. Of course, we've already talked about it. And that will often be the condition in your life. Something similar. And all of a sudden, you're questioning God. You're doubting God. And you forget how this works. It's God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. God can do it. And secondly, his confidence in God's power never wavered. You know, I like that because that encouraged me. I doubt a lot. I question a lot. I get discouraged like you do a lot about things I want to see happen. They don't happen. Things I prayed about and they're not happening. And it's easy to get discouraged. Life can sometimes be a bummer, okay? Why does everybody have to be happy, happy, happy all the time? I almost think that they're either lying or they are from outer space. I don't understand that. There are times when I don't feel like laughing. And I love humor, man. The more, the merrier. It works like a medicine. God's right. But I want to tell you something. Life isn't always peaches and cream. Life isn't always, hey, we're on glory road. No, it isn't. We're often in the valley. We're in the shadows of life. We're hurting big time. And things have happened that have challenged us in believing God. He never staggered at what God had said or the fact that he had the ability to do it. He never staggered at that. But boy, did he stagger on how God was going to accomplish this in his own life. And that is what happens to us. That's why this is so encouraging to our hearts. So his confidence in God's promise is what never wavered. And that's the point. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That'd be another good verse to memorize, wouldn't it? Wow. Now in the last four verses, we look at the results. Therefore, and you see, that's why I think King James, based on the Greek text, Textus Receptus, may have the point here that there isn't any paragraph break. He's still talking about the same thing he started with in chapter 3, verse 21. Therefore, in the light of all this, we understand it was counted to him. It was imputed. It was reckoned to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. Somebody asked, why did all this happen? It was counted to him, not just for him, but for us, verse 24 also. To whom it shall be accounted if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I should tell you this. The word for is the Greek word hati or because. Just a little different emphasis. Both are good, but let's read it like it should be. He was delivered, given up, because of our offenses. The cause for Jesus being on that cross was our sin. There is no other adequate explanation as to why he died. And secondly, he was raised again because of our justification. No good to have a dead Savior. The victory came the third day when he was risen from the dead. Because he lives, we shall live also. My faith in him guarantees all of this to be true. Now notice, please, that chapter 5, verse 1 begins with therefore, only the statement that follows it is connecting the context. Therefore, being justified by faith. In other words, he's assuming that was cleared up in your mind. That's why in chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, as noted in your notes on page 8, it's declared justification by faith in the rewards of our salvation. Verses 1 to 11, one of the most marvelous passages in the entire Bible, and it's combined with one of the most difficult, as it will be demonstrated in the results of the fall. And if you think we had trouble over the faith issue, over the salvation issue, over Jew or Gentile or Abraham, whether it was Gentile or Jew or whatever, wait till you get to the end of chapter 5 next time. You're going to really have your head turning and twisting and blowing in the breeze. And I want to set it up with this statement. A man wrote me a long letter. He's a Bible teacher. And it was about depravity. He said in his long dissertation that he didn't believe the fall of man occurred. I had to stop and read his letter over again just to be sure I was reading it right, because he's a brilliant Bible teacher. He didn't believe the fall ever occurred. So I kept reading his letter, his reasons for it. He believed that God created man sinful in the first place. He's a hyper-Calvinist. So I took the time to look into it, talk about it. And I came to Romans. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore, by one man sin what? What did it say? Entered into the world. That's all I needed. I wrote him back and say, according to the Bible, sin entered into the world through a man that was already created. He then wrote, then how do you explain David's remark, in sin did my mother conceive me? His problem actually was over Isaiah 45:7, where God says, I create evil. A word that can mean judgment, Hebrew word ra. He created judgment if you sin against him, but he didn't create sin. There's no sin in him. Sin originated with Satan. And we'll talk about that when we get to the end of chapter 5 next week. But you understand how brilliant Bible teachers, trying to explain truths that seem far beyond our ability to understand, sometimes can drop themselves into another heresy. I know it doesn't seem fair, but I'm going to tell you next week that you and I are sinners because Adam sinned. Now, don't misunderstand. You're not being blamed just for Adam's sin. You're going to be blamed for what you sin, too. But you understand the reason why we're all sinners and born that way is because Adam sinned. And the whole human race fell. Now, people don't like that. Why am I being blamed for what Adam did, man, all these thousands of years later? Well, let me ask you a question. Did you like our discussion about justification by faith alone? Did it help you to understand that you don't have any effort involved? There's no performance, no works? Well, explain to me how that's so fair, that God would declare you righteous on the basis of nothing that you ever do. That sounds pretty unjust to me, doesn't it? You don't deserve that, do you? And that is the key to unlocking Romans 5. Amen? Let's pray.